I just wanted to let you know that JC is out there running his mouth. Let me read you a comment that he left to someone. Hello, Beth, you Nazi cow.
Hi, I need to speak to JC. I've been trying to talk to him since before the election.
Yeah, he's a big pain in the butt. What, can I just give him a message?
Just tell him I think he's an arrogant jackass. I'll tell you the reason why.
All right, just so you know, by the way, he drives me crazy, too. I hate him.
Well, he made the comment that he said, who do these religious people think they are, you know, when they were going to vote against the stem cell? Who do they think they are? And I thought, you know, what an arrogant jackass.
Right. I agree. He's always doing stuff like that.
And who are you? Are you JC?
Yeah.
I figured you might be.
Are you an electrician?
You
hang up.
Big dummy.
No, I'm just getting warmed up.
Happy to see you again.
Don't be nervous. Don't be rocky. You're a teenage guest disc jockey now.
And let me begin by wishing you a beautiful look.
Did that voice inside you say, I've heard it all before? It's like deja vu all over again.
Wednesday, the 11th of August, 2021, and it's JC here at JCOnTheLine.com. Saw the movie Respect last night with Jennifer Hudson as Aretha Franklin. We'll have a complete review for you on the show tomorrow. I think I was the only one in the theater last night that was wearing a mask. I don't know what the tipping point is going to be in this whole thing. What is going to make people finally say, okay, we got to start taking this thing seriously. The numbers are higher than at the peak of when we thought the peak was. But people are so fatigued. And again, I don't necessarily blame them for being fatigued, but we're living in this society where everything has got to be easy. If it's not easy, we don't even want to do it. We won't do it. Can you imagine if the attitudes that exist in this country right now were around in the 1940s during World War II? We'd all be speaking German in this country right now. Everything's got to be easy, you know, or people won't do it. Well, some things are hard. I tell you, it's hard as raising a preteen. Yesterday, my daughter comes to me along with her friend and wants honey. I'm like, yeah, we got some honey. What are you going to do with it? We saw this thing on YouTube. It's like, oh, no. I just did the story the other day. Frozen honey. It's a thing that's on TikTok right now. You freeze a bunch of honey in a water bottle so you can snack on it and take bites. But there's only one problem. It's giving people diarrhea. A dietitian at the Cleveland Clinic talked about it and said it's because of the sheer amount of honey people are eating and because of something called fructose malabsorption. One in three of us have an intolerance to fructose, and honey is 40% fructose. So eating too much of it too fast can cause bloating, cramping, and really bad diarrhea. There's no long-term effects, but it'll make you sick for a day or two. Needless to say, I intervened, translated. I got to be the bad guy again. It's what happens in a family. You're familiar with this whole thing. You know, somebody's got to be the bad guy. There's somebody in the family. There's always somebody in the family who is the hammer, you know, who's the one that comes along and says no when everybody else in the family has said, well, I don't know, go ask your dad. And then it's like, hey, now, forget it, ain't happening. Not eating chunks of honey. I don't know necessarily that I'll have an opportunity to have this discussion during the review of the new movie Respect with Jennifer Hudson, which I'll review, as I said, tomorrow. But I can say this about the movie. It's a reminder of how important it is to be careful what you say to your kids. It's pretty darned easy to crush their dreams if you say the wrong thing. And there are abusive parents. There are parents who are just sort of stupid and don't really understand the consequences of the things that they say they do. You got alcoholic parents. You've got parents who are just jackasses. You know, until you're about, 13, 14 years old, you know, about the time you go into high school and you really start making some decisions for yourself. But up until that period, you're so vulnerable as a kid. And I remember this. You know, I had some, there's a lot of artistic ability in our family. My dad was a very, very talented cartoonist. He never followed his dream, That's not what you did. That's not what the Greatest Generation did. You wouldn't be a cartoonist. That would not seem like a real job. It would seem too, I guess you'd say, unreliable of a profession. No, you went to work, you got yourself a real job, you put on a suit and tie every day. My sister was an art major. As a very small kid, I displayed some artistic ability. And one day, we were having art class in grade school, and it was probably about fourth grade. And I'm not very good with paint. It's just there's no margin for error. I know Bob Ross would disagree and everything, but I just never found painting an easy thing. Okay, I'll draw and I'll print and stuff like that. But anyhow, so I was painting and I painted a tree, and the nun walked by and sort of gave me this nod like, yeah, that's not bad. And for whatever reason, I don't know, I got the black paint out and I drew a border around the entire tree in thick black, wide black paint. Like I said, I was in fourth grade. I don't know what I was doing. You experiment. That's part of what art is anyhow, is you're supposed to experiment. And even when you make a mistake, even when you do something stupid, you learn from it. Maybe you don't do it again. It's like, did I ruin this picture that I was painting? I don't know. But the nun came by and practically hit me for doing this. Ridiculed me in front of the entire class. Look what James has done. Held up the thing. He ruined his own picture and then put it back down. I never drew again after that. I never drew again. By now, you've probably heard the story 10 times about my guitar playing. You know, we had a, I was taking guitar lessons at this music school on the old southwest side of Chicago, and they're doing the recital. It's like 500 people. They rented out a hall, the whole thing, because you had the little ballerinas, and you had the accordion players, and you had the dancers, and you had all this. And it was like, oh, okay, well, we've got a rock band here. I don't know, it was like 1967, all right? We got a rock band, and we got shirts that made us look like the Beach Boys, and we got out there, and just about the time, maybe a week or two before the show, they come to us and they go, oh, we're going to add Bobby to your act. And Bobby was the accordion player. And Bobby got out on stage with us and panicked. He froze up and started playing at about a quarter speed. And they had to restart us. The president of the music school came out, interrupted. Hey, we got off to a bad start. Let's give him a round of applause and let's try it again. A one and a two and a... And the kid did the same thing. You know, the beat was supposed to be doo 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 doo. And this kid's going, nah, 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 nah. And we did like a 17-minute version of Washington Square, 2.5-minute song. It was like something out of Spinal Tap. And I put the guitar down, and I never picked it up again. Well, I picked it up again for pictures, but I stopped playing. It was just horrified and traumatized by the whole situation. And who knows, if those two major events in my life had not taken place, maybe I'd be doing some art still right now. Maybe I'd be playing the guitar. And there's a school of thought that says, hey, JC, pick yourself up from your fucking bootstraps and get up and keep moving. Well, I did. I just didn't do it in those areas of performance. But the point of this whole thing is, if you choose to see the movie Respect, and I'll tell you about it tomorrow morning, if you choose to see it, you're going to see a heavy, heavy depiction of the influence that things that occur in somebody's early life have right till the day they die. And admittedly, the things that occurred in Aretha Franklin's life at a very, very early age were quite a bit more traumatizing than anything I ever experienced, but everything's relative, I guess. Oh, I know what the other thing that happened on this date in 2009. Let's see, I got to figure out how I'm going to tell you this story. Oh, yeah, okay. So it was another anniversary of 9/11. And see, I have this theory that I've been peddling for many, many years now, and that is that I don't think that we should be having these tearful displays on 9/11. If you want to recognize it, which I think you probably should, you know, a lot of people would want to recognize it in some way and maybe shed some tears. All those totally innocent people in those buildings killed like 3,000 people. And now you have all sorts of problems with people dying later on, having suffered from basically breathing in powdered glass and steel. And it's just fucking up their lungs, and people are getting sick. And thank God for people like John Stewart, who's trying to raise awareness and raise money to help these families out. but reminding the enemy, every September 11th of how badly they crippled this country and how badly they hurt us is not a good idea, because it is empowering the enemy. The team that loses the Super Bowl doesn't stand there and, you know, have all their players crying, weeping openly because it's like, you really hurt us by beating us. You wouldn't do that in any other situation if you were a boxer and a guy really pasted you and really hurt you. You would do the opposite. You would act like you weren't hurt. You wouldn't go, ouch, oh, that one really hurt. Mike, why did you hit me that hard? It's illogical. You don't do that when you're in some sort of conflict, particularly a military conflict. You don't keep reminding the enemy how badly they hurt you. So I'm all for whatever kinds of, celebrations of life, however it is that you manage grief. All those things are fine. They're appropriate. But to just stand there just openly weeping every year and reminding these guys sitting in a pile of rocks on the other side of the world how badly, it's 20 years later, we're still crying over it. It's not the way to do things. I said as much on the air on our old radio show on K-Hits 96 a couple of years after 9/11. I begin to start receiving angry, ridiculing notes and letters from a St. Louis Fire Department battalion chief who I think sort of liked the idea of suddenly becoming a hero, because you remember that's what happened after 9/11. All the first responders, people were, practically bowing in reverence to these people who put their own lives in jeopardy to help out people who were injured or worse back on 9/11. Very, very admirable stuff. Obviously. But I guess this guy didn't like the idea of somebody saying, hey, wait a minute, maybe we should think this out. Like I said, I started getting these obnoxious things. Well, then I actually got one sent to my house, and it made a snide comment about my wife. So I started looking this guy up, trying to figure out who he was and was he dangerous. I mean, somebody started sending things to your house. Think about it. He had to find out where I lived, and I didn't advertise that at all. My guess is he probably used the resources of city government to be able to find out where, what my address was. And if he did that, that's even a more egregious violation of protocol in the St. Louis Fire Department. I'm sure of it. And I talked about what was going on. I talked about it on the air, which apparently sent him off even more. Fast forward a couple of months later, and it's just like a Tuesday afternoon, and I'm at Johnny Mac's down on Watson Road in Crestwood, buying some softball gear or something like that. I'm standing in the checkout line, and I notice there's two guys who are sort of, I guess you would say, following me. At Johnny Mac's, they had these cameras up on the wall that showed the security shot of the security cameras. And these guys are basically following me. And I recognize this guy. I don't think he knew that I was going to be there that day, but he saw me and figures, okay, let's fuck with them a little bit. And in fact, I just ignored them. And then as I'm walking out to the car, that's when they cranked it up a couple of notches. And they start screaming stuff at me. This guy and some, I don't know who the kid was with him, as a younger kid. And they're yelling. He's trying to pick a fight with me. He's trying to provoke me. He's challenging me to a fight in the parking lot of Johnny Mac's on Watson Road. I went straight to the police. And in fact, I still have the security camera. They cut a DVD of the thing because I told them what happened. I said, I'm going to need this for evidence. And they cut a DVD of the security camera. You can see them following me. And I went right to the police and I reported it. And I threatened this St. Louis Fire Department battalion chief. I threatened him with a lawsuit and a criminal charges. Finally, he backed off. All of this on this date in 2009. Oh, Mickey, you're not so fine. At 10 o'clock last night, the temperature humidity index, that is when they combine the temperature with the humidity, made it feel like 91 degrees. At 10 o'clock last night, going to be pushing 100 again today. It looks like this will be over, maybe by tomorrow night into Friday. And now this.
The A-List interview with JC and the Morning Show, Graham. Here we are with Robin Williams. Well, when my field rep back in St. Louis told me about this movie over the phone, I didn't quite understand it. And I thought she said the movie was called Wet Dreams May Come, yeah, starring Robin Williams.
Yeah, then they're shaving Robin's privates.
What is it? I'm Golden Blonde.
I'm Golden Blonde, yes. Yeah, Primal Rear. We have a lot of well, Romancing the Bone. I am the plumber. I am here to fix your pipes. And come on, just act! I wonder if they have, like, porno movie acting coaches. Sweetheart, I love that moment. I know there's not a lot of blood flow in the head right now. Let's just try and remember our lines.
Great Robin Williams, of course, who left us on this date 7 years ago. I remember where I was and what I was doing and all that sort of stuff. And you shake your head like, what? What? He hanged himself? Well, of course, now we are still finding out that this affliction that he had was causing dementia, loss of memory, hallucinations. Apparently, it was just awful, just awful. And he couldn't take it anymore. I had the pleasure of interviewing Robin, oh, God, must have been 4 or 5 times. One for a movie called Cadillac Man with Tim Robbins. Another one, The Fisher King. The Fisher King with Jeff Bridges. And that thing he did with Cuba Gooding Jr. in 98. That sounds right. What Dreams May Come. And the way these things work, and I've explained it before, you know, they bring in reporters, entertainment people from all over the country, sometimes a couple of hundred of us. You see the movie on a Friday night, and then Saturday you get up and you put on your little Pee Wee Herman suit, and you wait in line, and then they call your name, and you sit outside the door while the guy in front of you from Denver is interviewing Robin Williams, and you're sort of listening in, and then the door opens up, and it's your turn. You come walking in, and in the case of Robin Williams, you pretty much got whatever you gave him. So if you would begin the conversation on a serious note, you'd get a very, very serious as a heart attack Robin Williams. If you walked in, sat down, and started screwing around, well, he would just take whatever you gave him and just go nuts with the whole thing. And he would change moods. He would shift gears incredibly fast, incredibly fast. You know, he was telling me about this movie, Cadillac Man, was about a car salesman. And apparently his father did that for a while. And when he was talking about it, and I just asked, but when he started talking about it, he became almost somber in tone. And you feel like you're in a dive. It's like, pull out, pull out, pull out. And finally, you get him going again. And then you make a joke about something and bang, just like that. He would shift gears and start improvising. And he'd play off you. He was a fascinating guy. You also got the idea he was using only about 2% of his brain to have the conversation with you. I think it was the second time I interviewed him, and I'd have to go back and look all this up because I get my chronology screwed up. But all I remember is right after his divorce, and then, you know, he married the nanny. He married the nanny. Her name was Marcia. And the odd thing about it was that we're going into the interview room to do these interviews for these movies, and she's sitting right next to him. She's not in the shot, but she's sitting right next to him. I had never encountered anything like that before, where somebody had their wife or their girlfriend, whatever the case may be, in the room with them. And you could tell they were extremely, extremely emotionally connected to one another. And then it was like, I don't know, 15 years later, and that one hit the wall too. But apparently those last couple of months of Robin Williams' life were not very happy times. He had a, I guess you'd call her a groupie. He had a groupie here. I was dating a girl who lived in Granite City but was from Chesterfield. It's a long story. And one of her best friends, Stephanie, was an extraordinarily good-looking woman who saw it upon herself, took on the role of, I don't know, official stop for famous men visiting St. Louis. Let's put it that way. And I went to her apartment once, and she had all these snapshots of all these people. And there was a picture of Robin Williams in bed. And I'm going to tell you something. That guy looked like Sasquatch. It was unbelievable, the amount of body hair. You think the U-Man has body hair? We used to always tease him about all the hair just coming out of his knuckles. Just out of his knuckles alone. But Robin Williams, I don't know what nationality he was, but whatever it is, it's a very hairy nationality. Then on top of all that, somebody I interviewed a long time ago, Christina Applegate. Now, after the whole breast cancer thing, now at 49 years old, she's got multiple sclerosis. That's the point at which, if I were her, I'd be saying, well, what did I do? What did I do? Breast cancer and now MS? I'm not even 50? How great was she at Anchorman? People always talk about Married with Children, but Anchorman is the one. Anchorman is the one. Jennifer Lopez's pink diamond engagement ring from Ben Affleck back in 2002 is estimated to be worth $11 million. Also, according to Jennifer's former publicist, she most likely still has it. It's one way to save money if you're Ben Affleck. Just go back, circle around, and pick up the girl who's got your $11 million ring. Are Jennifer Aniston and David Schwimmer dating in real life? Their relationship rumored to be heating up since the Friends reunion. I was just over at the Cheshire Inn a couple of weeks ago, and they have all those theme rooms. You know, I've never been in one. I know about them. They have all these different theme rooms over there. Got to do that sometime. Anyhow, in the UK, there is a Willy Wonka themed hotel room, which includes a chocolate fountain, bottomless bowls of candy, chocolate baths, and this is the one that really, really grosses me out, lickable wallpaper, which they do change in between guests. Well, there's that. Sort of weird on ABC tonight, 9 o'clock, Channel 30, a one-hour series about people who've shaped American culture. First episode profiles Whitney Houston. Late night tonight, Billy Crystal and Olympic swimmer Katie Ledecky on with Jimmy Fallon. Kimmel's got James McAvoy with host Sarah Silverman, his old girlfriend. Alan Alda on with Colbert and Seth Meyers as Andy Samberg. NHL legend Tony Esposito dying after a battle with pancreatic cancer. He was 78. The NFL says taunting penalties are going to be strictly enforced this season. And here we go again. Stevie Nicks canceling all of her remaining shows for 2021 because of COVID concerns. Birthdays today. Thor is 38, Chris Hemsworth. Anna Gunn, who played Walter White's wife, Skyler, on Breaking Bad, 53 today. Viola Davis, one of the great actresses we have in this country right now, 56. Joe Jackson, not Michael Jackson's father. This was the stepping out guy, 67. Hulk Hogan, 68. Eric Carmen, all by myself, 72. It was 87 years ago today, 1934, the first federal prisoners arrived at Alcatraz in San Francisco Bay. That is a very, very imposing thing to look at if you've never been to San Francisco. Well, first of all, don't ever call it Frisco. Nobody does. Harry Chapin got away with it in the song Taxi, but nobody says Frisco, okay? So don't make that mistake. But if you go on a tour or something like that, they will take you out there, I guess. It's an evil, evil place. 77 years ago today, 1944, four members of the James Marvin Cosson family were killed when the U.S. Air Force plane accidentally dropped three bombs on their home in Florida. They were doing those exercises where they got to bomb something, got to practice bombing something, at the wrong house, killed the whole family. A Hard Day's Night, Beatles movie, came out 57 years ago today in 1964. That was one of my very, very early dates. Let's see, 64, I was 11, and we went with a group, but I sat directly next to Beverly Ballow. We were pretending we were on a date. Pepsi announced they're going to start selling boozy Mountain Dew next year. They're partnering with the Boston Beer Company, which owns Sam Adams, and the hard seltzer brand Truly. They're calling it Hard Mountain Dew. It's 5% alcohol, so about the same as, almost said hand sanitizer, hard seltzer and beer, but unlike normal Mountain Dew, it won't have any sugar and there's no caffeine either. A photo of the cans shows three different flavors. The first one is original flavor. The other two are watermelon and black cherry. That stuff will hit the stores next year. Well, a woman went on Facebook and said that her husband complained that she packed too much for trips, and she wanted to show what people thought was acceptable for 7 days away. So you're packing for 7 days. She shared her list, and here it comes. 7 tops, 7 t-shirts, 7 pants, 7 shorts, 10 socks, 14 underwear, 5 pajamas, 3 swimming suits, a shower towel, a swim towel, a beach towel, a coat, 4 hoodies, shoes, sandals, flip-flops, toiletries, and more for each person. She admitted she prepares for all kinds of weather, and she didn't say where they were going. Some people commented there's no need for so many pajamas and hoodies, while others said you could cut back on the pants and tops, especially if you were also tossing in a full supply of shorts and t-shirts. But what about the underwear? 14 per person? I mean, on one hand, you never want to run out. but 14 pairs of underwear for 7 days? You ever change your underwear right in the middle of the day? I mean, I've done that, but not much, not a lot. It gives you that fresh feeling. And speaking of packing, when do you do it? Do you wait till the last minute like most people? Are you a planner or a procrastinator? Well, it might be shocking to people who put stuff off, but you're just making things harder on yourself. Researchers talked to 2,000 people who described themselves as planners or procrastinators, and they found out planners tend to be happier, healthier, and less stressed. They also have more money. Here's some more stats. Planners are more likely to do big things early, like taxes and shopping for the holidays, and they're also less stressed while they're doing those things. Planners have more free time. 52% said they have a good social life, and 44% said they have enough time to themselves. Both of those are 13 points higher than the procrastinators. Planners tend to have a healthier family dynamic. 79% said their relationships are strong. Only 65% of the procrastinators agreed. Planners are more likely to feel confident, 68 versus 49, and also to be more financially secure, 49 to 33. Planners tend to feel more respected and admired. Over 90% said their friends, kids, and coworkers respect them. For procrastinators, it's only about 80%. But here's some good news for people who put stuff off. You can change. Over half of the people in the study said their habits have shifted as they've gotten older, and 77% of those people got better at planning ahead, not worse. I heard somebody say the other day that they want more people to get vaccinated, come out with a vaccine that is pumpkin spice. Because that's all you have to do, apparently, is make something pumpkin spice. And, you know, here we are approaching the middle of August. Pretty soon, it's going to be, people are going to be putting up Thanksgiving, you know, horn of plenty things and those wreaths that they put on the door. A lot of pine cones and stuff like that. And then along comes the pumpkin pie. If you are familiar with a little town in central Illinois called Morton, Illinois, it creates 80% of all the canned pumpkin we eat. 80%. Libby's is the most popular brand of canned pumpkin, and they do all of their harvesting and canning in Morton, Illinois. It's basically about 45 minutes southeast of Peoria, by the way. Henny Youngman used to tell an old joke. He'd say, why does the Italian Navy have glass-bottom boats? The answer, of course, is so they can see the old Italian Navy. Several landlocked countries have navies, like Bolivia. They're landlocked, and it's a huge navy, 5,000 personnel and 60 ships. I wouldn't have guessed this, but according to blind people, they have 4 times more nightmares than people with sight. 27-year-old guy in Italy ended up in the ER after shooting himself in the junk with a nail gun. At first, doctors couldn't find the nail because it was less than an inch long. The nail, not his junk, by the way. They eventually removed it. He's going to be okay. An off-duty cop in Chicago got into a minor wreck on Sunday, and the other driver attacked him on the side of the road. So the cop's buddy jumped in to help, and the guy bit his nipple off. That's all right. He's a guy. He doesn't need it. And Sunshine Mills dog food is being recalled because of mold. Because heaven forbid an animal that spends all day licking their balls and eating feces in the front yard would consume mold. And now, if you'll excuse me, I have to go check in on my 11-year-old to make sure she's not trying to eat frozen honey. It's an ongoing battle. We are here every weekday morning. We post at 7 a.m. Monday through Friday. It's absolutely free. If you miss a podcast, we archive all of them here. We're also available on multiple platforms. And please spread the word that we're here every weekday morning doing the podcast, especially people who like the old radio shows. You can email me at jc@jconline.com and follow me on Facebook, The Showgram with JC Corcoran. Have a great day. We'll talk to you again tomorrow morning. In the meantime, we've beaten this one to death. Have a good one. See you later. Bye.
The JC Corcoran Podcast.